Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
The Ball Corporation's plant in Golden is looking for production technicians. You can read the full description and apply at jobs.ball.com when you search Golden. This position is on the front line of the aluminum beverage can production process at Ball's plants. The company offers a competitive $27.39 per hour wage with potential for increase at 6, 12, and 18 months on the job. It offers exposure to a lot of other manufacturing opportunities in the plant. The production technician role touches on the other stages of production, making aluminum cans and ends. This role is responsible for machine adjustments on high-speed production equipment and is an integral part of the production team, both in quality and meeting operational goals for volume. At Ball, all positions have importance and impact. The role has skills growth built into it, and many production technicians become maintainers, which is the next step in the production technician line. Employees who have started out as production technicians have even gone on to other roles in operations and management. Yeah, it definitely has the level of technical skill that people are looking for, since the old days most have an outdated perception of back-breaking labor. Much of this has been automated today. So, text GOLDEN to 77222 and you'll get linked to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search GOLDEN to find that opportunity. Again, jobs.ball.com and search GOLDEN. Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boost every single day. Jesse, AJ, Bruno, Allie on the back. We are going to be recapping the calendar year for the Avs on today's show for the most part. But yeah, this is a calendar year, I guess. I don't calendars are square, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll get into that in a little bit. First, the hockey news of the day, as is continuing to be the case. We have to keep talking about this type of stuff just because it's what's happening. WJC's, I don't know that it's technically officially been announced, but Chris Peters and Bob McKenzie both reporting that the World Juniors is going to be canceled in, like, literally the next couple of minutes. So, more problems for the hockey world when it comes to this wave of COVID that it's experiencing. We were talking a little bit before the show. We kind of thought it was a little weird that they actually started the tournament and then decided to cancel it after it got underway. But there's a...
Well, it was especially weird when they canceled the women's immediately.
Yeah, right.
And then we're like, well, we'll just go ahead with the men's because we got away with this last year. And then...
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, so I was going to say, them canceling the under-18 girls tournament, to me, if you were going to cancel the World Juniors, that's when you should have done it.
Yeah.
Because like now you kicked up a bunch of dust, a bunch of people were upset, you know, about all kinds of stuff. And now everyone's a loser now. Like everyone, like nobody gets to feel good about anything. Everything got canceled. And like, it's just such a bummer, yeah. Man.
And Austria still had to get the holy shit kicked out of them.
Right. And like here's one real quick little soapbox that I will get on, because I said something yesterday when they made Team USA forfeit a game. I didn't think that they should have been forced to be, you know, forced to forfeit. But someone made a comment in the mentions, and they were like, what does this even matter? These kids will go on to play pro. This tournament means literally nothing. And, like, I just want to be very clear that, like, I feel for these kids and the girls, you know, the under 18 girls who had their tournament canceled. Like, for a lot of those kids, this tournament is everything.
It's genuinely the biggest stage some of these kids will ever play on.
Ever play on. And there's a
bunch that's a person that doesn't know what they're talking about.
Right, right. And like, how many times have we talked about it, AJ, you know, back in the day with the old draft pods and you know, even in the last couple of years, I know I've heard you guys talk about it a ton, where how many of these kids do we see materialize NHL, you know, contracts and draft conversation and NHL careers out of this tournament? So you just, you feel bad for those kids in the same way that you felt bad for, you know, a lot of college seniors and high school seniors and stuff the last couple of years who had seasons canceled. Time always marches on. And when you're doing something that has an age limit on it, there's a lot of these kids who I guess you're thankful they got to play at least a couple games before it gets canceled. But, you know, those Team USA kids got to play one game, and that's something that a lot of them have worked for their entire life. And it's just that to me, I know there's so much else that goes into it, and there's so much that you have to be mindful of and prioritize and stuff like that. But just on a quick side note, I feel bad for the kids because for a lot of them, this tournament is not only is it meaningful, it's everything to them. So just a bummer to see it go this way.
Yeah, it's I reiterate this a lot, but at the end of the day, everyone wants to see these games get played. Nobody wants to see hockey get canceled, but the realities of the situation are sometimes games have to be canceled or tournaments or whatever.
Do you guys think it's a little weird? I even had this thought with the under 18 girls tournament. These seem like really easy situations to make a bubble, right?
You would think.
Well, they had the bubble last year that worked okay. And then this year they had more relaxed rules going into it. And we're seeing the result.
Yep. It's...
Has there been a flood of positives in the tournament that I just haven't like seen, or is this kind of, does this strike you guys as something where it's like, yeah, before all the news of these positive gets out, we're just going to.
Yeah. I think it's a reality of, they know they've seen a couple positives. They already saw it happen in the NHL. People understand that the Omicron variant is more virulent as far as infection rates. So I think they're kind of just getting out ahead of it. But part of this, and I do want to talk about this because this does relate to the NHL too. We're going to try to keep this not political, but the NHL does have to deal with the fact that they have a significant number of teams in Canada whose restrictions are significantly tighter than the ones that are in North America. That's just factual. That's all there is to it. And we're seeing the Canadiens games are now postponed all the way up through January 10th. That's more because they're not allowing fans in the building. But again, the Canadian restrictions are a lot tighter, and we're seeing that affect now the World Juniors as well, but the NHL and their schedule too. So I don't really know what the best answer is here, but it's something that the NHL is going to have to figure out a solution to.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I know they were saying, I saw a couple of people talking about the Maple Leafs schedule, that they're going to have some games that are going to be shifted around.
Yeah.
So games that haven't been postponed or canceled are now going to get moved to a later date and stuff like that. I don't know. I just keep going back to the fact that it just strikes me as so odd that the NHL, seemingly more than other pro leagues, is very reactionary right now. It doesn't seem like they've been very proactive in a lot of this and getting out ahead of it and making sure they've got protocols in place and contingency plans in place. It's just really weird to me that they really seem to be struggling to get the hang on this after two full years of having to deal with this, and all the other pro leagues are, I mean, I guess they seem to be handling it much better, and it just, I don't know. It's just really frustrating to watch this kind of go on as, on a day by day basis and not really seem like there's any direction.
And we have seen in the last couple of days, NHL kind of following suit with what the NFL and NBA are doing with their reducing quarantine times to 5 days, assuming you get a negative test. And they're kind of just saying, look, dealing with this, we're just going to leave it to the local level. And then you guys kind of figuring it out on your own. So
what could go wrong?
Well, without getting too much into that, again, the difference that the NHL has to deal with here is Canada, right? Yeah. And I see Koga saying relocate the Canadian teams for a month. The problem here with relocating the teams is they need revenue from the Canadian teams. The Canadian teams are their biggest source of revenue, and they're already in the hole from everything that's happened so far with the last two seasons of COVID. That the reason they're postponing the Montreal games is because they just don't want to take the financial hit of Montreal playing games with zero fans in the stadiums.
Right.
So,
and to be honest, that was kind of why I thought they were forging on with the WJCs as opposed to the under 18 women's tournament. Was I was like, well, you know, this isn't a popular answer, but I was like, I guess there's more money in it for them. To play the WJCs, you know, is, you know,
unfortunate but factual statement.
Right. I was going to say, as much as we don't want to, you know, think that that's a reality, you know, the WJCs, my understanding is, are, you know, they're on a lot of networks, they're on a lot of TVs in Canada, you know, and even in the US, we get a lot of the games on live TV. So there was more money. So I said, okay, yeah, that really sucks, but I get it. And so to your point, Rudo, yeah, you know, I it's a tough situation the NHL specifically is in, because yeah, not only do you have several teams up there, but they make up the majority of your revenue. Yep. Especially in terms of you know, actual gate and TV deals.
Yep. And you know, it's every league has their sources of revenue. The NHL has always been more gate driven than a lot of the other leagues in mm-hmm. North America. So that is definitely part of the conversation. Jake with a $10 super chat here. Thank you very much. Absolutely love your content, fellas. And Allie, please keep up the great work, donating $5 for every dub for the rest of the season. That's extremely generous. Thank you.
Yeah, very
so much for that. hopefully the Avs can get back to getting dubs pretty soon here. You know, so far Sunday's still on. Again, I'm gonna say that every day until it's not on anymore. But you know, you got to keep hope alive a little bit there. Are you back with us, AJ? You were pretty laggy there for a second.
Sure.
Okay. He comes and goes as he pleases.
He's kind of like the NHL schedule right now.
Yep.
You think he's there.
Take advantage of it when you can.
Yeah, might be.
I'm all over the place, fellas.
Yeah.
You just got to wait for him to start talking to find out.
Yep. Go one day at a time. Again, that's all the NHL is trying to do. You know, obviously, it can be a frustrating situation, too. We were talking a little bit about how... what do you do with your life when you're just sitting here and there's no hockey around?
Bro, this is the first time we've ever been recording a podcast, and I'm like, this is the most boring podcast of all time.
I don't want to do this show either, but that's the news, is that hockey is canceled in Canada.
Basically. If I have to have another conversation about where the league revenue comes from, anytime in the next 6 months, we have to talk about how the NHL is a gate-driven league. Please, please, bash me in the face with a baseball bat until it's over.
All right.
I don't know if you Yeah, I don't know if you want to make that deal because I have a feeling it's going to come up.
We have that recorded, and there's no way we're making it another 6 months. There's God.
Please.
But, you know, I think it is a frustrating thing, especially for the Avalanche fan base who has been on this break for a week longer than everyone else and still has another 4 days to go.
And had adorably attached themselves to Oscar Olausson like he was the next coming.
Yeah, the hype was a little bit over the edge on that one.
But it was fun to watch like those accounts that were just tweeting out like updates and clips from WJCs.
Yep. And him going off.
It was the only Avs player that
we could watch. Do you guys hear this dog battle?
I heard a little bit of it there, but now I can't.
Is there a dog in another room?
There's a dog in the hallway who's barking because the dog knows that Kirby's in the room. And now Kirby is alerted to the dog and is just sitting here, all 8 pounds of him, growling at the door.
Yes.
Get him, tough guy. Attack. Protect.
Bro, my little miniature dachshund is the toughest dog on the block until he's got a... Well, actually, I take that back. He chased down a coyote once. I thought he was going to die. He tries to back it up. He tries real hard. I don't know what'll ever happen if he like gets himself in the situation, but I don't know what it is about those dogs under 10 pounds are just.
Dude, they're tough. They either know what's up and they get out of every situation in a hurry, or they're just too dumb for their own good.
Yeah. That's, I love the growls though. The growls, not the bark. Like I always find that so funny. It's like, oh yeah. Yeah, real tough. Real
yeah.
Tough.
Everybody.
I'm glad he's not barking because barking drives me crazy. It's especially because he has one of those like high pitched little punk ass barks and you're just like
small dog bark.
Well we do have to pour one out for the WJCs, so go get yourself some Breck brew.
That sucks, dude. I love the WJCs every year.
It's my favorite time of year, usually, dude.
It's great. The only upside of this is that the United States remains
champs
on top.
Well,
we're not dethroned, okay? The United States has not been dethroned. It was canceled, so see you next year, sucka. Try again.
Yeah, happy Gilmore. Better luck next year.
Hopefully without Gene Wright.
that would make it easier for sure. Get your Breck brew, either 8 different kinds on tap down at the DNVR bar, or check your local liquor store. Use the Breck beer locator online. You can also, if you need a better night's sleep, check out Snooze Sleep, local here to Colorado. They have the 4-in-1 mattress. You can flip it for firm or soft, and you can flip the mattress cover for hot or cold for up to a 10-degree difference. So whether you need to cool off while you sleep or warm up, either way, they have you covered for any type of sleeper you might be. Again, you can check them out local. Check out Snooze Sleep, and they'll give you a 7-day free trial. Ship the mattress right to your door, so you don't have to do anything but sleep on the thing and make sure it works for you. And you know, it's a great time to go check out the DNVR bar. Maybe not for Avs games, but it was popping last night for the Nuggets game, because you know the Nuggets aren't completely broken anymore. They have at least Jokic is healthy regularly, which is all you really need to win when you're the Nuggets.
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Look, all right, the Avs have eaten up a lot of the injury needs for Colorado so far this year. So I'm sure we'll get into
not just the Colorado sports teams, the state.
But the entire state's worth of injuries?
Yeah.
There you go. They've certainly had their fair share. But yeah, come on down to the bar. Come on in and have a good time. Sunday, assuming the game goes forward, you can have some mimosas, watch the Avs game. It is a Broncos watch party technically, so... You know, Broncos make a lot of people want to drink right now, so maybe it's good to watch that one at the bar. You can check that out this weekend. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account. All right, let's get into something, you know, at least a little bit more fun and start taking a look back at the year for the Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, a bit of a crazy year all over the place for hockey in general, but the Avs too, as a team that in the last calendar year, the expectations for the Colorado Avalanche are the highest that they've been in a very, very long time. So they have not won a Stanley Cup, obviously, in their one opportunity this year. But where do you guys think Colorado falls in relation to the expectations around them based on the year?
So, and the year, right?
The year.
Okay, yeah. I mean, honestly, and now this is maybe a really dumb statement, but outside of the collapse in the second round, if you're purely just judging their play, I think they've been pretty close to what a lot of people expected and predicted out of them. That, you know, hey, look, this is going to be a top level team that's going to dominate on a lot of nights. On most nights, they're going to have not only the best player on the ice, but the best line on the ice. And I think they've lived up to that. Now, obviously, there's a huge caveat that comes with that, because when it got into, you know, prove that you're the best team moment, they definitely seem to shrink in the light a bit. But if you're just surface level looking at the whole body of work, I think they've come pretty close to matching the expectations of what a lot of people have thought of this roster as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, they've had maybe you could say that first 10-game stretch of this season was a little bit slow for them, but they won the President's Trophy in the 2021 season. So certainly in the regular season, I don't think you can knock them at all for being just the best team in the league for the first half of this calendar year and one right at the top, other than maybe those first 10 games of the season this season. So it's a very, very good hockey team. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
I think by most, and you guys can definitely fact check me on this, by most like advanced statistic metrics, I think over the course of the entire year, I would be shocked if they weren't at bare minimum a top two team in the league. If, you know, just in most categories as a whole, this team has played exceptionally well in 2021.
Yep, agreed. AJ, anything to add on the expectation side?
Tell them. I think they've done they have really, really high expectations. And look, the reality is that they did not live up to them in the postseason. But, you know, they won a President's Trophy, something a bunch of franchises have never even done. They won a division. They're looking good right now. Had they not had a comically screwed up start to the season, who knows what their record would have been in those first 10 games. I'm having a hard time feeling too bad. I would say the Vegas series and maybe the first day of free agency were the only things that the Avs would probably want back.
Yep. Sounds about right. We do have to bring up the context of this year, because as everyone is very well aware how injured the Avs have been this season, this was plenty a problem for them. Honestly, even going back previous to this year, the last three seasons, the Avs have had quite a bit of injury trouble here and there. Now, they've at times gotten lucky with things like COVID pauses that help them get healthy from those injuries. But outside of last season's playoffs, which it did felt like they were about as healthy as they were ever going to be for those, this is a team that has been wildly successful while managing a large injury load. So the question for me is this it? Is this the Avs' final form? Or do they have that next gear that they could be even better than anything we've seen so far?
I think they have to have another gear. If they are gonna get to the place that everyone thinks they're capable of getting, they're gonna have to play, you know, a step up, whether that's in intensity, in the pace. You know, like you look at that Tampa team from last year and how fun of a series that would have been to watch them and the Avs go head to head. But for the Avs to have won that series, they would have had to go, you know, they would have had to take that game to another level. I think they've got another level in them. And to the point where I think what you were kind of leading this all off with, is imagine this team if they get more than, I don't know, 7 days of practicing with a full roster. Like, you know, if you actually see this team put all of those pieces together that we've talked about and you get the goaltending and, you know, you have a lot of those guys clicking when you need them to be, the way that, again, using Tampa, they're you know, two-time back-to-back champs, the way that you see every single top guy performing every night, you get the goaltending every night, you see the depth guys chipping in every night. That's what you need. It's that's what's going to get them over the hump. Finding that little bit more consistency in the, you know, when we see them kind of reach that peak, to me, that kind of next gear is they get to that peak and they find a way to sustain it for the 2 months. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I just, they have not though, Kirby, the way he's eating a fry. They haven't been hitting on all cylinders, not once this season.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, you look at it, their goal scoring went through the roof. Their goaltending was struggling. One half of their special teams has been useless pretty much the entire season. The start of the year, their power play was brutally bad. And then their penalty kill has completely gone in the tank. So... And it hasn't mattered much, but is Rudo frozen?
Nope.
Oh. It's really weird because I see Jesse moving just fine and everything is normal here. I see me moving, but Rudo is staring down at the floor on my screen right now and hasn't moved in minutes. Yeah.
AJ, I think that's a great point. Because right before the pause, both Devon Taves and Jared Bednar were asked about, I can't remember which game it was after. It was another, you know, big time win, multiple goals, five different goal scorer type night. And both of them were asked, like, you know, you guys keep making mention to the fact that you need to clean up defensively. Given the way you guys are playing, like, you know, obviously this wasn't the question I'm paraphrasing here, but the question was kind of like, what do you need to do that for? And they both used the phrase, we haven't played our best hockey. And they were basically saying like, yeah, it's great. We're winning games and like things are going well, but we're not going to go score 7 goals every night across 4 separate 7 game series. and they, you know, they just made that point kind of like what AJ was just saying, like we haven't gotten there yet. It's great we're winning. That's the whole point. you know, we're winning. We're on a great streak. You know, I think it's 14-3-1 since that first 10-game stretch. But we know that we still have another level. And I think it's what AJ was saying of we've seen every bit of it play well on different nights. We've seen Darcy Kuemper have good nights. We've seen the offense have good nights. We've seen the defense have good nights. But I don't think we've seen it all collectively together, at least not multiple games in a row. And that to me is what's going to be real fun.
Yeah, their most complete game might have been that Montreal game where Jonas Johansson was in net.
Where they won 4-1 and just kind of smothered them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's and look, it's very rare that you're going to get an S-rank performance out of every facet of your game on it on any given night.
Right.
But
yeah,
you're asking for nobody to hurt you, right? You don't need an S tier goalie performance when you're scoring 6 goals in a game, but you'd like something to build off of. You would like some confidence to get going there instead of it being, well, the Avs scored 7 goals, so we're just going to ignore their problems. Or, well, the Avs only scored 2 goals, but it was fine because their goalie played insane that night. You want a little bit more of an even keel.
Right. You're going to need a couple. If you are really going to go on and win 16 times in the playoffs, if you're going to do that, you are going to have a few nights where stuff like that has to happen. I honestly thought that was kind of what we were seeing there in game 2 of the Vegas series. I was like, boom, there was the one where the goalie steals it. And now you get this, you steal a win and now you get to close out this series and blah, 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 blah. And obviously it didn't go that way, but you will need a couple nights like that. So that's fine. You're not asking them to do it every single night, but you are also, again, if you're going to win 16 games in the playoffs, you have to have several nights where you are getting, to your point, Rudo, maybe not a perfect performance out of everyone, but you've got to get an A- performance out of every single group. Your forwards, your D, your goaltending, your special teams, you have to get very good performances out of everyone in a lot of those games to make it the distance.
It's the reality of two great teams playing each other is often not which team is better, but which team makes less mistakes. Because the best teams will capitalize on mistakes. So you have to be able to keep it clean on every side of the ice, I guess.
So I actually want to say something real quick here. I honestly think that's one of the things the Avs have been, I don't necessarily know if you want to say better at this year, but I've just really noticed, especially in the last, 20 games or whatever, where they really do seem to be capitalizing on mistakes. I go back to the second Ranger game. Yeah. The Avs Rangers here, New York gets it within one with a couple minutes left. And Adam Fox made what looked like a really innocent looking mistake when that puck came out of the zone and he went to chip it in deep, but he ended up chipping it into the netting. And so the faceoff came out to center ice. And then again, another small mistake where you're trying to push the play forward. You have 4 guys jump trying to push the puck towards the offensive zone, and you end up getting caught there where Adam Fox clearly is not as strong as Val Nichushkin based on that play. Yeah, yeah. And he, he goes the other way and just smokes Georgiev. And it's like, I was just sitting there. I said that all started because Adam Fox didn't get the blue line before chipping the puck in. So the faceoff came all the way back out to center. The Rangers have to put their goalie back in. They lose, and the Avs took advantage, 5 seconds later or something like that. So it's just, they've, and there's several other examples throughout, this last 24 or whatever games, where they just really seem to be capitalizing on, you cannot make small mistakes against this team because they'll burn you. And I mean, we say it all the time, death by inches in hockey. And in the playoffs, it's typically when you get down to those later rounds, conference finals, cup finals, it's who makes more mistakes and who can capitalize on them is who ends up winning.
Yep. I think that's extremely well said. We are brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. So go get some of that for your morning coffee and your CBD needs. You can take care of migraines, aches and pains like joint pain, IBS, a bunch of other stuff as well. So check it out. They have K-Cups. You can get 25% off your first order when you use code DNVR25. Then you can hit up DraftKings. You can put in $5 right now, bet on any NFL team to win their next game. If you do, you get $200 in free bets. So that's a lot of money to mess around with on DraftKings to go do whatever you want when it comes to betting on all sorts of nonsense there. Or you can bet on, good bets, but where's the fun in that? Use code DNVR when you sign up to get that $5 for $200 in free bets opportunity with them. Right now, I don't know. You guys got any good bets? Anything that's working for you right now?
Over the weekend, I had a couple NBA games where the line was at 210, and I was like, that's free money. And it was.
Yep.
So that was those are some good ones. I haven't really had anything that I've been super interested in betting on for the last 2 weeks.
I know the pain. But when the Avs is back, of course, you can bet on them too with DraftKings. So head on over there. It must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. Use that DNVR code for the $5 bet for $200 in free bets opportunity with DraftKings. And of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. We have to do this because the year is over. So I am going to ask you both, and I'll give mine as well. What was your favorite moment of the year for the Colorado Avalanche?
AJ, go first, because I know you said you already had yours.
It was actually our moment. Right after the Avs swept the Blues, and we started the post-game pod by sweeping up the area on the pod.
That was my moment too.
That was my favorite moment. Just after all the shit that Ryan O'Reilly had talked before the series, oh, we're going to win the series. We're going to this, we're going to that, which was also like, what was he going to say? But also like, you said that shit.
Right.
And Blues fans being like offended that the analytic models had the Avs at like 86% chance to win the series or whatever. And being like, that won't happen. And then watching them get fucking swept.
Yeah.
yeah. That whole series was really. It was really vindicating just from how I felt about O'Reilly and the Blues and the way that their Stanley Cup continues to stick out as this fluky nonsense in my mind. And watching them get drilled like that was very satisfying for me. And I think the sweep of the Blues, I felt especially because there were so many people who were like, oh, the Avs won't be able to handle St. Louis, their play style in the postseason. They can't play that kind of game. They can't do this. They can't do that. And
you tell them, Kirby.
Get them, Kirby.
Just like that.
That's how I felt when Ryan O'Reilly talked.
So I remember when O'Reilly said that and you had a bunch of people saying, well, what is he supposed to say? It's like, it's going to be a good series. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. We're going to play hard and try to give them all they can handle. Yeah, the fact we're going to go out there and we're going to win. We're going to beat them. It's like,
A little overconfident, eh, bud?
Yeah. I don't necessarily know if mine – is a moment. Rudo, do you have one?
Oh, yeah. Mine's easy.
What's yours?
Doing a watch-along for the Mikko overtime goal by a mile in the playoffs. It wasn't even close, all right?
So I was honestly going to say that the Game 2 overtime win was a highlight for sure.
Yeah. Now it's forever cemented on the internet of me screaming Mikko into a camera.
So mine is going to sound very on brand, and AJ's probably going to roll his eyes, but then I'm going to explain it a little bit better. So I honestly loved, and I was advocating huge for the NHL to shift their schedule, because it's not necessarily a moment, but I loved the regular season playing out at the time of year that it did in the shortened season. I was living downtown, and it was just so much fun around every game. You were going out and it was nice out and the patios were open and there was just people in Avs gear and Nuggets gear everywhere. And they were excited about the team. There was just a different kind of buzz around the city and around the fans, and people were out. And I really, obviously them winning a shit ton of games helped, but like there was just an enjoyment to last season that was not only a breath of fresh air, given the way that everything had gone in 2020, hockey or otherwise. There was just a really fun, unique buzz around the season last year. Just more people being out. Like I said, all the patios at the restaurants around the rink were packed the way that they are around, you know, playoffs come April, May. But it was that for most of the regular season. And I think that just kind of added to all the fun moments that we're talking about right here. You know, them smoking the Blues and then the overtime winner. And I just think there was a lot of really moments last year that were made even better by just people being out and excited and supportive and, you know, enjoying the best product we've seen on the ice since 2002, when they honestly probably could have gone back to back. I don't know. It's been an unbelievably fun team to watch the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's been a super fun team that I think part of the excitement for me is obviously, you know, everyone wants to see their team win the Stanley Cup or whatever, but through all of this buildup, it still feels like the Colorado Avalanche and their Stanley Cup window is now very obviously open, but it looks like it's going to remain open pretty indefinitely going forward. There are going to be some waters to navigate, of course, when it comes to contract talks and things like that, but it's clear that they've cemented a ridiculously good and ridiculously young core of players when you're talking about Mikko's here indefinitely, Landy now locked up, not quite as young, but still there. Makar locked up as well. They still have the big McKinnon contract to get through, but this team's already this good. And people, it's so easy to forget that it's like, oh, Nathan McKinnon might just now be like entering his prime of his hockey career. Cale Makar still not to his prime yet. So.
Well, and you know, we were making the jokes about, you know, Lawson earlier, you know, maybe being a little bit overblown during WJCs, but I mean, like, you've got that kid coming, you've got Justin Barron coming. You know, we got a small little taste of Sampo Ranta, but you say you still got that kid coming. You know, there's still hope out there to some extent for Shane Bowers. Bowen Byram really hasn't had any real opportunity to leave like a legitimate mark on this roster to any extent. So it's just so fun because you look at this over the last couple seasons and 2021 specifically, because that's what we're talking about here. Yeah, Drew Helison's another one. And you say, wow, what an unbelievably fun team. What an exciting team. And, you know, there's four or five guys that you could legitimately say, wow, they could add to that. And even if they don't turn out to be top guys, those are guys that are going to be able to fill in the lower part of your lineup, smaller money to keep you afloat in, you know, keep you in this competitive window for, you know, quite a while. This is how teams like the Boston Bruins have been good for the last 15 years and are always in that conversation, you know, and it's just now finally starting to catch up with them.
Only because they blew three first rounders in a row.
Right. And even them
in an all-time great draft,
they had an opportunity to extend this even further and they blew it somehow. But you know, you've got your Mikko and Nate, which is kind of like your Sid and Malkin. You know, you've got Cale Makar, which, you know, is your kind of flagpole on the back end. Like, you have everything made up to go on a Pittsburgh Penguin, Boston Bruins type run here, Washington Capitals, where you are relevant and you are good for a long, long time. And not just, you know, not like Detroit Red Wings keeping the 22 playoff streak alive good, where it's like, nah, they're doing everything they can to get the all-time record, knowing that they're going to get bounced out of the first round every time. Like, this is how you put together a roster that you say, we expect to be second, third round every year, and we have the makings to at least be a contender for 10 straight years. And it's super exciting. Anyone that lived through 2008 to 2018 Avalanche hockey. Like, we have earned this.
Definitely a stark turnaround from the dark ages. No doubt about that.
Not so much that they've earned it, but it's the system working. You see Edmonton's and, you know, you see Buffalo's and you see Arizona's
that wallow at the bottom forever.
Right. That don't figure it out because they just, they blow every opportunity that they have. And there's some bad luck involved. Like, you know, you look at the Coyotes, there's some bad luck that happens along the way. But when you take Barrett Hayton over Quinn Hughes,
you made your own bed with that one a little bit.
You can't complain about draft luck when you take Dylan Strome over Mitch Marner. You can't complain about bad draft luck. Like, you blew that call.
Yep.
And, you know, that's where it's always been interesting to me, the lack of credit given by Avs fans. Now it's given elsewhere, but by Avs fans for Colorado crushing their top 10 picks. Their worst top 10 pick has been Tyson Jost,
who's a perfectly functional NHLer.
Who, like, the Avs got a fine, like a passable NHL player, a bottom six forward in a draft year that was not good. Where there are teams that have already moved on from the guy that they've picked. Long moved on, too. Not like just recently happened, but like gave up quick.
As it stands right now, the Coyotes are begging Barrett Hayton to become Tyson Jost.
You're right. Exactly. Like, it's interesting, you know, the Avs crushed the big decisions, and they're still trying to work out. Obviously, you want to see them develop guys beyond the first round. You want to see develop a mid-first round pick. You know, it looks like Newhook is probably it. Maybe Kout still becomes something. We'll see. But they've done a good job. They've put themselves in this position. They got a little bit lucky with the Kale McCarr thing. They certainly got lucky with the Bowen Byram thing. But they also capitalized.
Yep.
That's gotta be so lucky to be good.
Well, yeah, like, it's luck is part of the equation. It just is. You have to get a little bit lucky along the way. Like, somewhere, you have to get a little bit lucky. But then you have to do a whole lot of things right. And they've done a lot of those things right. The question is, have they done enough? And how much better will it get internally? And I think I'm more excited for the future than ever, because Byram and Newhook aren't just glimmers of hope anymore. Yeah. You're looking at them be functional NHL players.
Yep.
You know, Bo and Byram looks like a goddamn superstar. And I mean a superstar. If he doesn't have Kale McCarr on his team, if he was playing, if he had those couple of games that he had this season in a Canadian market, we would be having that guy crammed down our throats at every single turn, and concussion protocols and everything, headshots would be looked at differently. If that guy was a Toronto Maple Leaf, the league would have done absolutely everything in its power to make sure that he never got hurt like that again.
Yep.
I was going to say, if he was in Vancouver, we'd be sick of hearing about Bowen Byram.
Straight up, dude. They'd be
saying he's better than Kale McCarr.
It's obviously a comically small number of games. It was like, what, 13 games, 12, 13 games? So it's got a long way to go, but looks like a superstar. And Alex Newhook, as good as he's been already, you're looking at him and that's a legitimate.
So much more there for him to give. Yeah,
you're looking at him, and you're like, right now, he's a true 3C. Like, he's getting by as a 3C just fine.
Yep.
With low end 2C production, just raw points production would be good for a low end 2C right now.
Yep.
And he's gonna. You're expecting him to get better. So, you know, they're, and that's with your 2C being a top 10 scorer in the freaking league. Like, this season isn't lost. This season at times felt like, oh my God, this is going to be a lost year. This is going to be a weird transition year. It's all been teetering. And now that they've gotten to where they've gotten, and now that everybody's healthy again, it's really, really, really hard not to be like, 22 is it! 22 is it! This is it!
First 10 games were just a boarding station for the Rockets.
Yeah, okay. Straight up, man. Straight up.
The other thing that we've really seen come to fruition in the last, you know, this past year goes a lot hand in hand with what Adrian was just saying was the other area where I know we give them plenty of credit, but I don't know how much credit they get elsewhere. But when the regime change happened and Patrick Waugh left, like I said, it wasn't necessarily a regime change, but the regime reconfiguring, they said, this is our identity. This is what we are building to. And we are sticking to this plan. They didn't rush. They didn't take shortcuts. They didn't, you know, every year when they went to the draft, you could look at every player that they took, and whether you agreed with the pick or not, you could see why they took the guys that they did. They all seemed to fit a certain mold. And you're seeing a lot of that finally come together. And how many times were we collectively pulling our hair out watching this organization fumble through the mid-2000s and you know, make trades and sign players like Brad Stewart before they had even played a game? You know, Eric Johnson has turned into a, you know, obviously a staple. He's played the most, you know, the majority of his career here. But remember, I even remember at the time, you know, they traded what were looked at as two very young, promising players, you know, for a guy that they're like, oh, well, this can be a quick upgrade to our defense. Semyon Varlamov, again, I think he'll go down as one of the more underrated abs of all time. But again, like, they traded first and second round picks, trying to take a shortcut, trying to speed up a rebuild. And it wasn't until they finally committed and said, we are doing this right, they got their asses handed to them for 82 consecutive games. And then since then, it's been nothing but on the way up. And now in 2021, we've finally seen a lot of that come together in the way that everyone wanted it to. And all of this is part of the reason why I laugh so hard every single Sunday with, you know, watching the Broncos and their fans do these mental gymnastics into saying, oh, well, we're this one player away. We'll just trade all of this and do that. We'll go get this one guy. And it's like, you've got good young pieces, build towards something, have an identity. And that's what the Broncos are missing, is they don't have an identity. But it's like, you know, I've seen the movie that Broncos fans are watching 10 times over. And I promise it ends disappointing every time until you have someone at the top pick a lane, pick a direction, and say, this is the direction we're going. You have to go through some pain to get there, and the Avs certainly did, but I think a lot of what they finally put together and said, this is what we're doing. We've finally gotten to see a lot of that come together. Like AJ said, not in a, oh, just wait, the future is coming way, but in a, no, that all these kids that we've been preaching about saying, oh, just wait. They're all here and there's more on the way.
Well,
it's awesome.
And again, I think to kind of relate it to this year is it feels like the Avs have committed this time, unlike the last real core they had put together, where it was like, okay, this is a team that has Matt Duchene, that has Ryan O'Reilly, that has Paul Stastny, and they kind of just slowly but surely let these key pieces get away from the team over a handful of 3, 4, 5 years. That's not happened here. Landy is signed indefinitely again. Makar, they have
different caliber of core pieces too.
Of course, it's a different caliber, and that other team never really had a proper defensive core beyond Eric Johnson and I guess Tyson Barrie at the end of it. But,
yeah,
but still, it shows that it's a team that is dedicated to who they are now.
But even that old cord router, like what you're talking about, like I totally get what you mean, where at the time you were sitting there, you said, we got Matt Duchene, you got Paul Stastny, you got Gabe Landeskog, you got Ryan O'Reilly, you got Nathan, and you were saying, wow, we've got all these young pieces. How can we shortcut this to get these young pieces where you want to go? And that has worked zero times. Like that's never worked ever in the history of sports where you said, wow, we have these pieces. How can we shortcut it? How can we trade for Aaron Rodgers and suddenly make this group of losers a magical group of winners? How can we trade for Semyon Varlamov and J.S. Jaguar because they have the, you know, the coveted experience and the, you know, they're great locker room guys to get these real young talented kids over the hump? And what you see typically end up happening when teams do that is exactly what happened with the Avs. A lot of those top tier core guys you end up selling off. And again, it's just good that the Avs sold off in a way that built towards an actual core. You've got guys that want to be here. You know, there's the famous story of when Gabe Landeskog's name was on the block in the 48-point season, he went into Joe Sakic's office and said, look, I understand you got to do what you got to do, but please don't. If there's a way to keep me here, I want to be here and I want to help fix this. And that's why he's still in town and Matt Duchene isn't. Not a knock on Matt Duchene, but you know, Duchene said, I think it's time for me to move on and go play meaningful playoff hockey. And since then, the only ones who have played meaningful playoff hockey have been the Avs and not Matt Duchene. Like, there's a type of characteristic that they've obviously geared towards. How many captains have they drafted? You know, and it's guys that are bought in and it's guys that fit to the identity of what they want to be and how they want to play every night. They've got good cohesion between their front office and their coach. And seemingly the between the coach and the players, coaches and the players. So it's just they've gotten this to the point where everything seems to be running very harmoniously. And I think a lot of that goes back to what I believe it was AJ was talking about earlier, where we haven't seen this full roster play yet in the last two seasons. We haven't seen them fully healthy, and we are still comfortable saying we think they've met expectations for the most part in 2021. And a lot of that's because everyone is on the same page, top to bottom.
Well, you've forget fully healthy. You've seen a grand total of 7 periods of this defense at full strength right. this year. Right. And those 7 periods, everyone's like, oh my God, this might be the best defense in the league by like a lot.
Right.
And even not at full strength, there are times where you feel really good about this defense because you have Cale Makar or Devon Taves and Sam Girard. It's incredible that a team that has this much expectation on it can have that much more to give, it feels like.
Right, right.
So, anyway. Fun, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I'm super excited for another year of Avalanche hockey. I know I say that every year, but it's always true. So, I get to sit here and have the best job in the world talking about hockey every single day. So, I can't complain.
No lies detected.
Yeah, exactly.
No lies detected.
So yeah, I don't any final thoughts on the 2021 Avs before we get out of here?
Not on the 2021 Avs, but someone asked what AJ was eating for lunch. AJ and I had the same lunch several hundred miles away by complete coincidence.
Yeah. We raised some cane.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to finish up then. Be sure to like and subscribe here on YouTube. That helps us out a bunch. Obviously, the video gets viewed by more people when you like it and subscribing to know every single time we drop a video. Yeah, we like to think our content's pretty good. We have some other stuff coming for you through this week. I got a little video planned for you. Should be a fun one. Be sure to check that one out when it does go up. But other than that, we're going to get out of here. So thank you again for watching, listening, however you consume. We will be live again tomorrow. We're going to be off for New Year's Eve, but be sure to tune into tomorrow's show. And then after that, we'll talk to you in the new year. So we'll talk to you later.